label to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that we ask or think. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, for your power and your might. We thank you, Lord, and we trust in you with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. We trust in you and we give you praise that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and above all that we think. And Lord, we thank you for power. We thank you for your might. We thank you, Lord, that we are and will be a church on fire for you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, starting at verse 34 and ending at 40. We thank God for all that he's doing. We thank God for the power of God. Can we just put our hands together and give God some praise this morning for what he's doing? He is moving mightily in the midst of his people. Amen. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. We give honor to Mr. Russell today as we continue to keep him in our prayers, and Carmen and Tracy and Keith. We continue to keep every family and member of It Is Well Living Church in our prayers. God is doing great things, especially as we go forward in our fast. Good to see my daughter in service this morning. Kalisha, God bless you. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 34. Good to see Rhonda back in service. Amen. Rhonda, we don't like it when you're missing. Amen. I don't like that. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he has silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. And he said, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the reading of the word of God. Thanks be to God. I'll be speaking to you today from our subject, our new series, Church on Fire. Church on Fire. We believe that we are a church on fire. And if we don't think that we are, God help us, and maybe we'll believe that we are. But as we go forward in God, believing God for supernatural restoration, we the people of God, you and I, you are the people of God, I'm a person of God, we are the people of God together. We believe that and we desire to be a church on fire for God. You know, It Is Well Living Church, we are. Believe me, trust me, we are a church on fire. You know, that phrase church on fire is used quite often, especially by our Pentecostal brothers and sisters. And what our brothers and sisters are saying is that a church that is deemed to be on fire for God is a church that is active in the Spirit. The Spirit is high, and the people who attend the church are Spirit-filled. That's what's considered to be a church on fire. People are raising their hands, and they're running around the church, and they're crying out to God, and they're saying amen, and they're falling on the floor. And that's what's considered most times to be a church on fire. You know, there is an active fervor or demonstration of the presence of God. That's what people call a church on fire. They say, you have to go to that church. You have to visit that particular church because people run around and they scream and there's all these things going on. That church is on fire. But I want to tell you this, you know, That's what some determined to be a description of a church on fire. And I can agree with that, because having some interaction and some interaction with the Pentecostal church through my grandmother and through friends, and being a part of a Pentecostal type Bapticostal type church for 15 years that was on fire. I can agree with that. In my early days of ministry, I can agree that a church on fire is spirit-filled, and I can agree that there is an active demonstration of the power of God in a church that is deemed to be on the fire. But for the sake of this teaching, I want to expand or broaden the meaning of a church on fire. I want to expand the definition of a church on fire. You know, from our Bible study this week, we concluded that a church on fire is a body of believers of Jesus Christ, or Christians. A church on fire. This is our definition. This is my definition of a church on fire. A church on fire is a body of believers of Jesus Christ, or Christians, who desire to see the glory of God revealed. That's a church on fire. Christians, those who follow Christ and his teaching, that is a Christian, who desire to see the glory of God revealed in their lives. That is a church on fire. A church on fire is not a church with a hot choir or a hot worship team. And I love a choir and I love a hot worship team. But that is not a church on fire. A church on fire is not a church with a charismatic preacher, a preacher that you see on television, that you see all around the world and in magazines. That I have nothing against a charismatic preacher. Lord have mercy. Get on TV, get on the radio, do your thing for the glory of God. But that does not make a church on fire. That does not make a church on fire. Because they have a hot choir and they have a charismatic preacher, and because they have Keisha Cole singing the worship songs, or because they have Mary J. Blige singing in the church, that does not make a church on fire. A church on fire is not a church, just a church with a beautiful edifice. Lord have mercy, I love a beautiful building. I love a beautiful building, but that does not make a church on fire just because the church is big and you walk inside and they have a water fountain that you can throw pennies in and make a wish. That does not make a church on fire. A church is not on fire just because they have a grand building with several monitors and you go into another room and you can play Pac-Man and pool downstairs. No. That's not a church on fire, and I love a beautiful church. All of these things within itself does not determine or cause a church to be on fire unless the motivation behind the choir, the motivation behind the pastor and his preaching, the motivation behind the grand building is to glorify God. That's the only way a church is on fire. If the motivation of the preaching is to glorify God, if the motivation of the choir and the worship team is to glorify God, if the motivation of this grand edifice is to glorify God, then that church is on fire. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it all to the glory of God. Whether you sing, do it to the glory of God. Whether you preach, do it to the glory of God. When you serve, do it to the glory of God. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it unto the glory of God. That is a church that is on fire. Lord have mercy. A church on fire is a body of believers, Christians, who want to see the glory of God revealed. That's our desire at It Is Well Living Church. We want to see the glory of God revealed in Jamesburg and revealed in Monroe and revealed in our homes and revealed in our marriages, revealed in our businesses, revealed on the job, revealed when we go back to school, revealed. We want to see the glory of God manifesting all through our life. We want everyone to look at us and see God and see God's glory. God's glory on our homes, God's glory when we're driving, God's glory on every aspect of our life, everything that we do when we go back to school is for the glory of God. Brandon Jr. is back there working that camera for the glory of God. Lord knows I'm not paying him. He's doing it for the glory of God. I want to see God's glory. I want to see everything go forward for the glory of God. That is a church on fire. As a Christian, as Christians, you, us collectively, we are the church. We're the church. You and I, we are not the building, not the place, but we are the church. And if the church is going to be on fire, you and I, we need to be on fire. You and I need to be hot for God. As a Christian, you are the church, and we make the church hot and actively demonstrate the power of God, causing the church to be on fire. You, again, are the church. And if we are going to have a church that's on fire, you need to be on fire. Fire for Sunday worship. On fire for Bible study. On fire for serving. On fire for reading the word. On fire for the prayer call. On fire for the glory of God to be revealed in every aspect of your life. You, me, my wife, my children. Lord, have mercy. We all need to be on fire for God. If the church is going to be on fire, because we are the church, you know, Hindus can come together, but they cannot come together. Nothing against Hindus, nothing against anyone, but Hindus cannot come together and be a church on fire. You know, my Muslim brothers, and I love my Muslim brothers. I'm in school. Believe it or not, there are imams that attend seminary. Lord have mercy. But they can't get together, my Muslim brothers, and be a church on fire. They can do great things. They can honor and serve and help the community. And Lord knows we need them to help. But they cannot come together and be a church on fire. Lord have mercy. The Masons, they can't come together and be a church on fire. They can have their cookouts. They can have their barbecues, their pool parties. They can do all those different. But they cannot come together and be a church on fire. You know, most fraternities, they can't. But they can't come together and be a church on fire. They can do great things for the kingdom. They can do great things for the community. But they cannot come together and be a church on fire. Only Christians. Amen. Only Christians. Those that follow Christ. Those that follow Christ and his teachings can come together and be on fire for God. Only Christians can make up the church and be the church that is on fire for God. That's all. That's how it is. I'm sorry. That's what we're called to. You can go to your group. You can go to your organization. You can go to the temple. You can do what you need to do. But only Christians can come together and be a church on fire. Many organizations try. They try. They try to come together and be on fire for God. But without the Spirit. The Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. Which is symbolic of fire. The Holy Spirit is symbolic. Is a symbol of fire. There is no church on fire, because without salvation, without Christ, you cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit. First comes salvation. Then comes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no fire. There's religion. There's dullness. There is no fire. You cannot be a church on fire unless you are filled by the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and possess the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you are a church on fire. And I am a church on fire. I'll say that again. If you are a Christian and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and possess the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you are a church on fire, because the Holy Spirit comes into our lives as Christians to lead and to guide us and direct us in all truth. The Holy Spirit woke you up and told you to come this morning. The Holy Spirit told some to call me and tell me that they could not make it. The Holy Spirit leads and directs and convicts and says you should go to Bible study. You should come to church. You should serve in the community. You should go higher in God. You should read your word. You should get on the prayer call. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you not to date him or not to date her or to love your wife or respect your husband. The Holy Spirit guides and leads us as Christians. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no fire, there's no guidance, there's no wisdom, there's no